tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 17th of June 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to take a look at the unit which is responsible for crafting the statements of the families of victims who have been attacked by people of migrant heritage. And most recently we saw this with the relatives of Henry Novak, and the father, when he was on the steps outside the court, he said words to the effect of, "We don't want this to be used to divide our communities or to sow the seeds of division." These sorts of terminology, sow the seeds of division, that's not the sort of thing that normal people say. Normal people don't use these terms, hate either, spreading hate on the streets. They don't use these sort of terms. When we see them, we recognise that there's something off with the statement. And the reason for that is because the government has this unit, this crisis unit, that when these things happen, they go out there straight away and they manage all sides of it. It's sort of a managed public perception. After the Manchester bombings, we saw this call for unity, don't look back in anger, that song, Don't Look Back in Anger. And you'll see representatives of religious communities, Muslim, Jew, Christian, all getting together. And all of that is managed by the same group that helps craft the victim impact statement from these families. And it's basically managing public perception. And there was a big expose on this done by, I think it might have been Middle East Eye. It was certainly a Middle Eastern organization. It was a couple of years ago that they did a good report on this. Now, this has been updated, and it's actually by a whistleblower, and he's talking to the Daily Mail. So this is no longer an alternative media site. This is a mainstream media site that is now talking about this. So we'll be using the Daily Mail for our source material. And the headline is, "Revealed how shadowy unit of government thought police set up by ex-MI6 agent is trying to keep a lid on Britain's simmering racial tensions." I mean, that just shows you that diversity is not a strength. And you have to have a whole secret unit of government to try to keep a lid on things, try to hold things together, because diversity tries to pull the country apart. While the streets of Belfast were ablaze with anti-immigration protests last week, behind the scenes, a group of spies, spinners and soldiers were deploying the dark arts to try to diffuse tensions. By dark arts, they mean intelligence agencies, techniques. The name of the secretive government propaganda unit trying to manipulate events makes it sound like an innocuous back office operation. The Research, Information and Communications Unit, or RICU. But the dull moniker is part of the deliberate camouflage of an outfit which uses deception and skullduggery to try to manage the challenges of multiculturalism. And that's effectively the terrorist acts, the beheadings, the attacks, the black and white crime, covering it up and trying to prevent the public from either first becoming aware of it, and then when they do become aware of it, trying to ostracise those that wish to protest about it by calling the people that wish to protest about it racists, by getting the victim's family in their well-crafted statements to say, "We don't want, again, we don't want people to divide us. We don't want this to become politicised." as if a family is going to say, we want this to happen again, which is effectively what these statements are saying. If they say to people, we don't want people to politicise this, I mean, what are they saying? We don't want you to pressure the government to make changes in law so this doesn't happen again. As if a victim's family is ever going to say something so ridiculous as that. And yet we are expected to believe this. And this is the organisation that does it, RICU. Its techniques range from planting stories in the media, using undercover operatives to lay flowers at the scene of terrorist attacks, and even in one case, sending a pop group to sing anti-extremist songs in Muslim schools. And look at this first one, planting stories in the media. And they don't necessarily have to tell complete falsehoods in the media. You know, they always use a little bit of truth to make the story believable. And what they're saying here is they have access to the mainstream media. They have journalists which will write the stories that they want them to write. And of course, they don't have that in the alternative media, the independent media, because it is truly independent, which is one of the reasons why they don't want people to see the independent media. One of the reasons why the government wants to, and already are in the process of doing, banning under 16-year-olds from social media, because they don't want them to see the alternative media. The 22-strong unit was established in 2007 by the late Charles Farr, a former MI6 officer, as part of the Prevent Counter-Terrorism Strategy. I think MI6 is foreign intelligence. MI5 is internal intelligence. So MI6 deals with foreign espionage. MI5 deals with internal espionage. It's MI5 that are seeking to disrupt nationalist organisations, for instance, and MI6 that would seek to get involved with organisations like ISIS abroad. Modelled on the Information Research Department, the IRD, a propaganda unit established by the Attlee government in 1948 to blacken the names of communists and other political opponents, nationalists, RICU operates out of the Home Office's Westminster headquarters. Information Research Department, that's an interesting name. You would never guess that the Information Research Department was actually a propaganda unit, would you? That they were the ones responsible for putting out these news stories. It makes me wonder, you know, the Daily Mail puts out these news stories about migrant crime, black and white crime, terrorism, all these sorts of things. But then they also put out these news stories that attack the very people that protest against it. And I wonder if these attack pieces that attack the people that protest against it, whether they haven't been told to put those pieces out or to do those news stories by this propaganda unit. The fact they have a propaganda unit means they do put propaganda out. They're admitting they plant stories in the mainstream media. And I think the stories that are planted are the anti-nationalist stories, and the genuine stories that the newspaper covers other things like the black and white crime, because otherwise there's this disconnect, isn't there? Like the Daily Mail shows you all the problems that there are to do with diversity, yet when any individual or organisation tries to protest about this or tries to organise to do something about it, then there will be hit pieces in the mainstream media. I mean, just last weekend, there was a hit piece about the Remigration Summit that took place in Europe. The Remigration Summit had American people from Trump's administration there, had European politicians there. People there went there from Restore Britain. And the Daily Mail is doing a headline story how it's a neo-Nazi conference and how prominent members of the Restore Party were there. So it's attacking the Restore Party, yet the Restore Party are the ones that want to stop the black and white crime and deport the illegal migrants and do all the things that the Daily Mail sort of implies that it wants to be done. So there's a disconnect, isn't there? If they want these things to be done, if they want there to be free speech, if they want to stop the black and white crime, why do they attack the very people that want to do that? Well, I think it's because of this propaganda unit, because they're told that they have to do a news story, an anti-news story on people like Restore Britain. While its original purpose was to monitor and challenge the spread of Al-Qaeda propaganda and to vet the language used by public officials when describing terrorism, its tentacles now stretch far across Whitehall to the extent that critics say it risks strangling free speech. That's interesting, isn't it? To vet the language used by public officials. Nowadays, we have the police vetting the language used by the entire public. But when this started, they were just vetting the language used by public officials to make sure that it wasn't Islamophobic. When they talked about Islamic terrorism, when the mobs took to the streets of Northern Ireland last week, following the stabbing of Stephen O'Gilvy, allegedly by Hadi Aldid, a 30-year-old Sudanese asylum seeker, recused swung into action to advise the police in the province on how to, quote, control the narrative, close quote. This is what they're accused of doing in this old Middle East Eye interview, is controlling the narrative after one of these attacks happens. They leap in there so that they can steer the public away from being angry at being attacked and wanting to protest and change the government to not wanting to harm Islam or not wanting to blame everybody for the actions of an individual, not wanting to upset community cohesion. And this is the reason why you have this promotion of don't look back in anger after the Manchester bombing. So they seek to control the narrative and prevent the general public from controlling the narrative themselves. And I guess you could say, I mean, for a government, for right or for wrong, if somebody takes hold of the public narrative, they could cause a lot of harm. But if the public narrative is really, it's about disgust and anger about something that's happened to them, surely you would want to change whatever government policies it was that led up to it, rather than control the narrative to prevent people from trying to get the government policies changed. I mean, this is why people say it almost seems as if it's being deliberately done, all this anti-white activity. I mean, why else would you not want the government to change its policy when the government's policy causes all these horrific acts to take place? A source said they are working with the police service of Northern Ireland's C3 Intelligence Unit to identify those posting the online calls to protest in Belfast and other areas, as well as giving strategic messages to the public to ensure that the protesters were portrayed as unsympathetic thugs rather than activists and affecting behavioural change. So this is the reason why Black Lives Matter will get all these masses of support from Keir Starmer and Angela Rayner, and the police will get down on knees for them and very light touch policing. And when it's nationalists protesting, they will be called thugs and there'll be no support from Keir Starmer. There'll be calls for extreme prison sentences. And this is, and they'll, as I said, they will look through people's social media to follow those posting online, to look at who is calling for protest. Of course, it was Tommy Robinson that was calling for protest. I don't think it's a coincidence that Tommy Robinson this week was arrested at the airport under the Terrorism Act, and they took his phone and his iPad, basically. I think he refused to give them the password, so they've charged him under that act. He will have to defend himself in court again. This is the second time that that's happened. I think that's related to this. This unit will have been following Tommy's posts and seeing that he was the one that was calling for protest, so they will then make life hard for him under the Terrorism Act when he tries to leave the country. The source said that the unit had also been advising the police in Southampton following the horrific murder of Henry Novak by Vikram Digwa, who falsely claimed he had been racially abused and had acted in self-defence, saying Riku made sure that the liaison team dealing with the family were well briefed. It has also been claimed that the unit intervenes to write statements by the families of victims of potentially racially linked incidents to stop them from inflaming tensions further with their remarks. So there we have it. We have the whistleblower here confirming what we've been saying for a long time here on the right, that these statements that these families give, they've actually been told to give that by the state. They're probably also told that if they give that message, they'll get interviews on the television, they'll get support. Whereas if they don't say that and they say, well, we'd like there to be protests, then they will not get helpful interviews. They will not get television interviews, and they will probably not even get help from victim counselling as well. They'll probably do everything they can to prevent these families from getting any help at all, unless they stick to the narrative. I mean, they've got to have some stick and carrot to get these people to go along with it. The source said you can see their fingerprints all over the statements released by the families of victims in these volatile situations. They usually have a similar tone. Yeah, and they use those sort of the terminology that only the politicians and the mainstream media use, words such as division, hate, politicise. I mean, when your loved one has just been murdered, the last thing on your mind is, oh, we don't want people to politicise this situation or to encourage hate on the streets or to divide us. I mean, you just don't think like that. You're going to be thinking, my loved one has just been killed. Why are you asking me to say such ridiculous things? And it may be that, I mean, it helps as well. I mean, when something terrible like this happens, they should get government help. But the government help isn't just there to help them to process this and help them to process the grief. The government help is also to control the narrative. And so it's not just helping the victims. It's also controlling the narrative. That's what it's about. And the victims may not even realize that. They may say, well, I'm very thankful that you did write this victim statement for me, because I wouldn't have known where to start. I'm, you know, far too upset at the moment to do anything like that. So it may be that they see this unit as helping them. However, Ricky is regarded by many Whitehall insiders to be out of control after last year putting its name to a Home Office recommendation that the police should record more non-crime hate incidents. The controversial sub-criminal measures used to inhibit people from making reference to matters of race, religion, sexual orientation or disability. Ministers finally bowed to pressure by scrapping the measures, telling the police to stop recording everyday rows and online spats. Now that's interesting. I think it was a judicial review or a court that said this is wrong, and the College of Policing need to change their guidance. So there are all these pushes from the public to get rid of non-crime hate incidents, which they've now said they have done. And yet this unit, this Home Office unit, was pushing them to record more of them, to waste their time recording more of them. And the police are supposed to be solving crime, aren't they, rather than recording non-crime incidents. The unit also claimed that the prevalence of sexual grooming gangs in Pakistani communities was being exploited by the far right to stir up hatred against Muslim communities. Again, not there for the far right to use to change government policy to prevent this from happening, but they just seem to think that people do it just because they want to get people to hate Muslims. I mean, what purpose would that serve? What possible purpose would it serve getting people to hate Muslims? I mean, that's not going to change the government policies that allowed these grooming gangs to operate, is it? Hating Muslims. It's the same as, you know, what good is it going to do hating black Africans? And that's not going to stop the government from importing more of them, is it? You know, you should save your emotions and energy for the source of the problem, which is the government, which is our representatives. I mean, you can say, really, it's ourselves that are responsible for this. They are our representatives. Most of them are part of our own ethnic group, and yet they are the ones that are responsible for this issue. So you can say, we are responsible for this issue. Take responsibility for, you know, what's going on in the country, rather than blaming migrants for it. It's not like the Africans are building their own boats and building their own planes and flying into Europe, is it? We're the ones that provided them for them in the first place, the technology for them to do this. We're the ones that fed them and medicated them so that they increased in size so much that they couldn't grow enough for themselves in Africa and wanted to come to Europe. Now, the root of these problems is ourselves. But the state doesn't want you to think that. The state wants you to think that people on the right, I just want people to hate migrants and hate Muslims. And that's what this unit claims. It claims that the grooming gangs is being exploited by the far right to stir up hatred against Muslim communities. I mean, that might be the case with people like Tommy Robinson. He doesn't like Muslims. I haven't got anything against Muslims. I think Islam has proved itself to be very effective at managing Arab societies and non-white societies. I don't think it should be in Britain, but I've got certainly not got anything against Islam in itself. Rikku has a long history of covertly engineering, in the words of one expert, the thoughts of people at times of crisis, being quick to spring into action after terrorist incidents, such as the London Bridge attacks in 2017. 8 people died when a van was driven into pedestrians on London Bridge, and the 3 occupants ran to a nearby market and began stabbing people. In the immediate aftermath of the atrocity, Rikku's undercover operatives handed out flowers in the area with the aim of perpetuating an atmosphere of grief rather than anti-Muslim anger. So this is what starts off all of these flowers. A team in an unmarked van is also understood to have toured the area, plastering the walls with posters bearing hashtags such as hashtag turn to love, hashtag for London, and hashtag love will win. And of course, this hashtag don't look back in anger after the Manchester bombing. Similarly, after the British aid worker Alan Henning was decapitated by Islamic State in Syria in 2014, Rikku used a specially created front operation to plant an image of a woman in a Union Jack hijab in the media. And I can remember seeing that all over the place, this Union Jack hijab woman. So that must have been the reason for this. It's after this decapitation in Syria. And I didn't really follow what the Islamic State were doing in Syria and was more concerned about what was happening in Britain and in Europe and America. So I wasn't quite sure why that was appearing there, but I do remember seeing the Union Jack hijab woman. In one particularly bizarre case, the unit secretly funded a boy band in 2016 to tour Muslim areas of Britain to sing songs with anti-radicalisation themes. The British-American pop trio, known as Misdemeanor, visited schools in Sheffield, Manchester and Runcorn. Among the songs sung by the group were Think About It, which includes references to the 9/11 terror attacks in New York in 2001 and the 7/7 bombings in London in 2005. It includes the lyrics, see these hashtags all night, turn the TV on and something else ain't right, more people gone, don't know how we sleep at night, what I'm hoping is we can lead a precious life, 9/11 changes how we view these things, people want to terrorise, and 7/7 left behind more broken lives right before the eyes. So what they're doing there is they're seeking to appear as if they're just like everybody else. Something isn't right. I turn on the TV. Something isn't right. Don't know how this is going on. We can't sleep at night. Well, this is because society is dysfunctional, because it's a multicultural society. So they're telling you the half-truth. Oh, yes, we associate with you. We understand something isn't right. But then they'll lead you if you're thinking that there's something isn't right. Is the nationalists or it's the far right, rather than what isn't right is the multicultural society which has been created by our representatives. In June 2017, Darren Osborne, a recent convert to far-right ideology, drove a white van into a crowd of pedestrians close to Finsbury Park Mosque in North London, killing one person and injuring 10. Reports at the time said that Osborne had been held down and beaten by people at the scene, until an imam appealed to them to stop. And I can remember seeing these news reports, and it was everywhere, that this imam was the one that had stopped them attacking him and had said, no, it's against our Islamic religion to attack this man. We have to hold him for the police. And the fact is, he just killed one of them and tried to run people over. He did it. He got 35 years, I think, is what he got. And he had learning difficulties. And he said he was radicalised by watching the BBC documentary on the grooming gangs. I forget what it was called, or it might have been a drama. And he said that he watched that, and then he had followed Tommy Robinson on Twitter. But what had radicalised him was seeing these grooming gangs. And he just hired a van, went to London, and run this person over at a mosque. And I think he got something like 35 years for that, or a minimum of 35 years in jail for running a person over. And there was nothing said about banning the BBC because they were the ones that radicalised him with the grooming gangs. It was all talk about banning Tommy Robinson because this person had followed Tommy Robinson on Twitter. It later emerged that the reports about the peacemaking imam had originated after journalists were approached at the police cordon by a woman called Gabby, who said she worked for a company called Horizon PR and offered to introduce them to a third party who has stressed to the journalists the role that the mosque's imam had played in protecting Osborne until he could be handed over to police. I think I can also remember people at the time saying, well, I don't remember this imam from anywhere, and this is why. It was a made-up story. The story was the work of an agency called Breakthrough Media, which had been paid by Riku. So they came up with this story of this imam, this upright, human rights-oriented imam that didn't want to see this person who had just run a Muslim over and killed him, didn't want to see him harmed, and prevented the Muslims from beating the attacker up until the police got there. The unit's fingerprints were also all over the hashtag #WeStandTogether, which appeared on Twitter afterwards and was shared by prominent politicians, police commanders, and the London Fire Brigade. So they come out with these hashtags as well. Riku frequently uses social media in this way to infiltrate online conversations in target communities. So you wonder the sort of stuff that they would be putting in amongst the nationalist community, what sort of memes they put in there. However, according to Sir William Shawcross, who published a review of Prevent in 2023, the unit seems more keen to target the far right than extreme Islamists. Sir William wrote, "The bar for what Riku includes on Islamism looks to be relatively high, whereas the bar for what is included on the extreme right wing is comparably low." By way of illustrating his point, in 2023, the unit identified viewing habits which it believed indicate that someone could be susceptible to far-right views. These included Michael Portillo's Great British Railway Journeys, The Thick of It, and Yes Minister, all on the BBC. Works by Shakespeare, Chaucer, and Milton were described as key texts of interest to white nationalists and white supremacists. Mr. Portillo, a former Tory minister, reacted to the leaked report by saying, "Why are senior officials, at least, not trying to stop this stuff before it pops up and embarrasses ministers in the government?" And that's, I do find that interesting, because he's not concerned about what it's saying here, that they're going after people with just simply with right-wing views and not going after Islamists. What he's concerned about is the fact that it has embarrassed ministers in the government. He's not concerned about the effect that it's going to have on communities. He's concerned about the effect it has on the government. Why hasn't people seen this before it embarrassed ministers in the government? Security expert Professor Anthony Gleese responded, "The unit that produces this report is called Riku. It is based in the Home Office, but it is in that kind of shadowy area between what the Home Office does and what the security service, MI5, ought to be doing, or what the special branch used to do before it was turned into the counter-terrorist police force." The unit has also cited work by the Spectator journalists Rod Liddell and Douglas Murray as contributing to negative views about Islam and Muslims via the pages of mainstream publications. It also cited a book on the Rotherham rape gangs and work by the Mail on Sunday journalist Peter Hitchens, and a Riku document from 2019 described former Cabinet Minister Sir Jacob Rees-Mogg as being among figures associated with far-right sympathetic audiences and Brexit. Now, there seems to be a bit of a crossover here between what Hope Not Hate say and what Riku say about Sir Jacob Rees-Mogg. I mean, is there a connection there? Are they going to Hope Not Hate and telling Hope Not Hate who they need to be going against, or is it the other way around? Do they ask Hope Not Hate to identify the people that they should be subverting? Which way around is it? So Jacob accused Riku of wasting effort on elected politicians, scandalously diverting resources from evildoers. So at least Jacob Rees-Mogg complained about the effects of what this was doing, rather than Michael Portillo, who was just concerned about the effect on the government. When Defence Secretary Dan Jarvis was asked about the unit last year, He was security minister at the time. And it's claimed that the scandal of grooming gangs was being exploited by the far right. He said many documents are produced across government that are not implemented and do not constitute government policy. But this is still a government unit that's doing this. And if it wasn't for the so-called far right exploiting the grooming gang scandal, and what they mean by exploiting is highlighting it, publicising it, propagandising it, we wouldn't have the investigations of it that are going on today. I mean, they're woefully little, and the grooming gang victims are still increasing, but at least there is now attention on it. At least it's been covered by the mainstream media. At least the government has now called for an inquiry into it. And if it wasn't for the people that Ricky calls far right, if it wasn't for them so-called exploiting it, we wouldn't have any of that, would we? So, I mean, they're pretty much admitting that they would rather we didn't have that. They would rather that we just cover this up and pretended we didn't see that it was going on, which is what the police did 20 years ago, which is why it was allowed to go on. A Home Office spokesman said, Ricky provides analysis on extremist use of propaganda and exploitation of the internet to inform the UK's counter-terrorism system. We cannot comment on its operations. Well, they're not just monitoring and observing, are they? They're taking an active role in this. They're feeding out false news stories to the press or getting the journalists in the press to cover the news stories that they want. And they're providing the victim impact statements for the victims' families of these horrific black and white attacks that we see happening. So they're deliberately interfering with things. And as I pointed out before, I mean, you can say, well, the government should try to control the narrative if it's going to get out of hand, if it can cause harm. But if all people want is changes in government policy, I mean, how is that going to cause harm? I mean, if people get angry about something, they need to be directed towards protesting. They don't need to be told, oh, well, you shouldn't be angry about it. You should lay flowers and look at this helpful imam. They should be told, well, if you're upset about something, if you're upset about this, then protest about it and do things legally and peacefully protest. You know, and that's what people call for on the right. Yet they don't want that, which is very sinister, isn't it? They don't want people to protest. They don't want there to be any changes that stop the black and white crimes. They want people to just look the other way. And that I find very sinister. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.